And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. And with us today from Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania, we have its CEO, Kim Freitas Dow. Kim, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Give us just a real quick Girl Scout 101. Who are you?
Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania is the largest girl-serving organization in the state of Pennsylvania. We're part of the Girl Scouts of the United States, and there are 112 councils around the country. And we happen to be the eighth or ninth largest in the country, serving close to 40,000 girls with the help of 15,000 amazing adult volunteers. And our mission is to build girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place.
You just celebrated your 107th birthday. So who are the Girl Scouts today versus, 108 years ago?
Girl Scouts have always been an organization that's been built on the values of inclusion, innovation, and diversity. And we've been an organization that is for girls and led by girls. And we believe that girls develop into leaders and that in every girl, there is a leader, whatever leadership looks like to her. And that Girl Scouts is a place where girls can develop those leadership skills and become the leader that she wants to be and that the world needs her to be. And the three keys to leadership are discovering a strong sense of self, and Girl Scouts really provides ways to sort of figure out what's important to you, connecting with other people and valuing the power of diversity. So Girl Scouting, again, provides opportunities for girls to come together who might not otherwise, and then to take action both individually and collectively to make the world a better place. So in Girl Scouting, girls really sort of figure out what's important to them, connect with other people, and then if they see something that isn't right, say there's an injustice, they're compelled to take action and to introduce an innovation, whether that's a social innovation or if that's some type of other innovation. Our girls activate. And that's what I love about Girl Scouts, that all of our girls develop that leadership quality.
And you've had some very famous alumni, haven't you?
We have so many amazing alumni. And one of the things I really love about Girl Scouts is that leadership shows up in a lot of different ways. So whether it's, 80% of women in leadership positions in business, in politics, et cetera. But we also have women who are leading in smaller ways and taking those opportunities every chance that they have.
Well, I was going to ask, what are the advantages to a girl for getting involved with an organization like this, getting into Girl Scouts? What do you offer to girls that another organization maybe doesn't? Because there are a lot of groups out there that you can join.
Yes. What I like to say is that Girl Scouts doesn't have to be an either or. It's an and a must, because our girls from the ages of kindergarten through 12th grade are leading in different organizations. So many of the girls that you will meet or that you might have the opportunity to meet who've been in Girl Scouting for several years, when they get to high school, they participate in band. They're on the debate team. They're on the soccer team. They're doing all kinds of different activities. But the difference is that they're leading in those situations. So they have tons of interests. And in Girl Scouts, it's really a place where, unlike any other organization, we are a girl-only safe space where girls can try new things, fail, learn from setbacks, and take every opportunity to really discover what's important to them. So I think that really doesn't happen in a lot of places anymore. And at Girl Scouts, we have something quite unique to offer.
I do know that the Boy Scouts are now accepting girl members. What's the difference? What's going to be the difference in those programs?
So I would say Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts have been coexisting for 107 years. Only recently have they become sort of a competitor, if you will. And that really is not a reflection on any change in programming. It really is more a reflection on a choice that the Boy Scouts have made to have girls in Boy Scouting. So Girl Scouts, again, is really an organization that has been for girls and designed for girls, and programming is led by girls. We have the benefit of the Girl Scouts Research Institute, which is part of our national organization. Their sole purpose is to research what girls want, what girls need, and what makes girls tick. And so we have the benefit of that research fueling the curriculum and the programming that we offer. And we focus on four key areas of programming. Those are STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. The outdoors, we offer amazing outdoor adventures and experiences. life skills, so leadership, all sorts of different life skills and 21st century skills, as well as entrepreneurship. And our biggest entrepreneurship program, obviously, is the Cookie Program, which is the largest girl-led business in the world.
You know, when we just came off cookie season, I was going to ask you a little bit later on about the Girl Scout Cookie Program, but you want to talk about it now?
Sure. So Girl Scout Cookie Program, like I said, has been around also for over 100 years now. I think we're celebrating our 102nd year of Girl Scout cookie programming. And right here in Philadelphia, outside of the old Philadelphia Gas Works building, was the place where we first started selling a produced cookie, if you will. So out from the bake sale to a produced cookie. And the cookie program is more than just the delicious cookies that we all long for, that we only get for 8 weeks a year. It really is a program where girls learn five key skills, and those are goal setting, decision making, money management, people skills, and business ethics. So these girls really, as a troop and individually, decide how many boxes do they want to sell? How do they decide where and when they're going to sell these cookies? How do they manage the money that comes in? Some of it comes in directly for the boxes that they sell, and some of it is donated for troops and hometown heroes. Any booth that you might encounter, you engage with girls and you have conversations that these girls wouldn't have otherwise. They learn how to not take no for an answer in the sales sort of technique. And, you know, if not this flavor, how about that one? And then business ethics. So as you can imagine, you know, you have these girls and they're participating in this program. How do they make good decisions about sharing and that type of thing? So really is an awesome program where girls learn all kinds of things that help them as they move from elementary and middle and high school to college and on also in their careers.
I could understand goal setting and money management. But yeah, business ethics.
So I would say there's 40,000 girls in our council selling cookies for 8 weeks, and it can get pretty competitive. So, you know, what are the choices that you have to make to share with your sister scouts around the cookie program? In your troop, how do you share those opportunities for booths, you know, rather than sort of selfishly taking something on just yourself? When you're handling money and, you know, a certain amount is going towards the cookies and another amount is going towards donations, how do you account for those things? There's all sorts of opportunities to make good decisions and bad decisions in those situations.
So they really are good at this.
Yes. And I'd say that there's a lot of women in leadership positions in Philadelphia who are Girl Scout alum. And they talk about the cookie program as the first place where they learned a lot of different skills, whether it was cold calling their relatives and friends, or whether it was engaging with the public in these types of booths. These women really learned a lot of different things through the program that helped them become the leaders that they are today. And they think back about sort of the decisions that they made and how Girl Scouts was really the first place where they were able to practice that.
I was going to ask, the immediate effect on being a Girl Scout, does it help with school? Are they better students for being a part of the Girl Scouts? But then I was going to ask, well, what are the long-term effects of scouting on these women?
So I would say the immediate effects that you see, really, you can tangibly see with girls, is that they develop courage and confidence. And these girls who maybe are shy when they enter into school or they enter into scouting, when they meet each other, when they do these cookie booths, when they do all sorts of different programs, they come out of their shell. They see that they have the capability of starting a conversation. They see that they have the capability of earning money. They see that they have the opportunity to set goals and see the first glimpse of financial independence. And so what you see in these girls is a transformation into a girl who has courage, confidence, and character at the very earliest ages that really helps them when they go into competitive environments. They feel like they have a strong sense of self and something to offer.
When do you start taking in girls, and how long can they continue in the program?
We start taking in girls at the age of 5, so kindergarten, and all the way through 12th grade. So as early as 5 and 6, those girls are Daisy Girl Scouts. Then there's the brownies, et cetera, moving up the line. And our girls, again, are oftentimes this is the first thing that they're doing where they're meeting people outside of their family or outside of their church community or their religious community, and is a wonderful way for them to learn how to connect with people from different backgrounds.
They're troops, right? Brownie
yes.
troops.
Yes.
And Girl Scout troops. Do you have them all throughout the country? I mean, is there any area that is too rural or too isolated for Girl Scouting?
I love that question. When we get together with our sister councils around the country and we talk with our colleagues at Girl Scouts USA, it's my understanding that we have Girl Scouting in every zip code in the United States. So there's no county that's too rural, too urban, too anything. And as you can imagine, in eastern Pennsylvania, we serve a population in 9 counties. And we have urban, suburban, and rural counties and zip codes, and we have Girl Scouting in all of them.
And let me back this one up now. And so wherever I'm hearing this, there's a Girl Scout program available to me and my kids.
Absolutely. So you can go online to our website, gsep.org, and look to join. We have a new opportunity where if you put your zip code in, you can find out where there are troops that are open for you. And if there aren't any, you certainly can still express your interest, and then we will do everything that we can to put together a troop in your area.
So new troops are being founded all the time, aren't they? Oh, I guess they would be as new 5-year-olds are born.
Yes. We have a lot of schools who, or communities who decide that for, 5-year-olds and kindergartners, they give them the first semester to sort of figure out how to tie their shoes and get on the bus. And then they start joining Girl Scouting in January. So we have a lot of troops that are just forming in the spring months. Yes.
And do they follow the school year pretty closely, or is Girl Scouting a year-round program?
So troops typically meet during the school year, and during the summer we offer summer camp. We have both day camps and resident camps, and we have ongoing programming throughout the year. So Girl Scouting for the council is a year-round opportunity, but Girl Scout troops are typically during the school year.
Okay. And of course, if you would like to find the troops closest to you, find out more about Girl Scouting in your area, do as Kim said, go to girlscouts.org. That's girlscouts.org. And for Eastern Pennsylvania, of course, you can go to gsep.org. That's gsep.org. And today we are talking to the CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania, Kim Freitas Dow. Let's get back to the educational aspect of Girl Scouting. And you mentioned STEM. You want to talk a little bit about the educational enrichment that you offer to a girl joining the Girl Scout programming?
Sure. So STEM is one of the 4 main pillars of programming that we offer at Girl Scouts. And we offer all kinds of different programs, from cybersecurity badges for 5-year-olds to other types of engineering badges and robotics. So if girls are interested in STEM, we have programming on the weekends throughout the year where girls can explore those different options and figure out if something clicks with them. What I really love about all of our programming, whether it's STEM or other things, at Girl Scouts, we really are figuring out how to make the world a better place. So if they're learning about cybersecurity, it's not just to keep themselves safe online or to make good decisions. It's also to be a contributor to our nation's security. So these girls are really figuring out how they can be a part of our community and make it better. You know, if they're learning about robotics, it's not just robotics for robotics' sake, but also sort of thinking about, if I learn the basics of robotics and I think about things that can be improved in the world, how can robotics help those things? So our girls are really thinking about the programs that they're experiencing and also thinking about in the future, not only how can I be a great engineer, but how can I be a great engineer to change the world?
Explain the badge program.
We have badges for kindergarten through 12th grade, and they change as the age levels change in Girl Scouting. And badges are something that girls love to earn. And their vests and their sashes are ways for girls to display all the skills that they've learned through Girl Scouting. So girls can choose to work on different badges. They go through multiple different steps, and then they earn their badge, and they're able to display it on their vests.
Are these in life skills? Are they in civics?
They're in all sorts. We have hundreds of badges, and they're all in these different programs of STEM, the outdoors, entrepreneurship, and life skills. So we have a whole curriculum of badges for every age level that girls can earn.
If a girl does not have enough peers to do a particular program or is interested in a STEAM project, et cetera, can girls access Girl Scouting through online programming?
We don't have a lot of online programming. We do have a lot of information online. We have a lot of online training for our volunteers, so I will say that. As far as the programming, we like for it to be girl-led, cooperative with other girls, and learning by doing, so really hands-on. What I would say for that girl who feels like there may not be programming or enough girls in a troop in her area is that we try to have programming throughout our 9-county footprint, not just on our properties. So to reach out to us, we do have our programs online so that you can sort of see what's available, and you can participate in any of those. The other thing I like to say is sometimes in a troop, the troop really is supposed to be girl-led. And like all of us experience, sometimes whatever groups we're in, your non-preferred activity may be chosen by the majority. So you compromise. And the hope is that at some point you have an opportunity to do your preferred activity. If your troop enjoys, you know, camping and you're not a big camper, there are a lot of opportunities on the weekends that we offer for you to be able to do individually or with friends. So you don't have to only do Girl Scout programming through your troop.
Ah, okay. So you give them the guidelines and they go out, and those badge programs are guidelines for them to accomplish these skills.
Yes, you don't have to do Girl Scouting only with your troop.
Okay. And you mentioned the outdoor earlier. And so this area is so urban based. How do you bring outdoors to girls?
So Girl Scouting has had the outdoors and outdoor adventure and programming as part of its DNA since we were founded. Our girls really disconnect and they do programming outdoors at our camps and also at other programs that we offer with partners. We have 6 camps in our 9-county footprint. We offer day and resident camp programs, but we also offer outdoor programming throughout the year. On these campsites, we have anything from low and high ropes courses, challenge courses for girls, a 30-foot climbing tower where girls can test their abilities and overcome their fears, dueling zip lines across our lake. We have treetop canopy sports. We have all sorts of different outdoor programming. On the weekends, also, our girls can go on different trips. We have local, national, and international travel where girls really have the opportunity to learn how to travel and be prepared and do that well. So we have all sorts of different programs for girls where they experience the outdoors and take risks and try new things and really build their character.
These sound wonderful, and they sound kind of expensive too. What about girls who are low income? And what about girls that maybe have a language barrier right now? Because you talk about diversity. How do all girls get to participate through Girl Scouting?
So I'll start at the beginning of your question, which was, you know, it sounds kind of expensive. And what I would say is one of the beauties of the Girl Scout program is that our membership participates in the cookie program, and the cookie program helps to underwrite the expense of a lot of these things. So whereas our camps, all of them have these awesome resources and opportunities for girls, we are able to offer them at a very low cost compared to other camps because the cookie program and the girls who participate help to subsidize that expense. So I'm not sure if a lot of people realize that troops earn proceeds to help their troops do really awesome things, but it also helps to underwrite everything that the council offers to our membership. So starting there, so our camps, you know, for a week of resident camp, maybe $400 to sleep overnight, to have all of these awesome programs, to be fed, to all of that, compared to, you know, $1,200 or $1,500 for another resident camp for a week. So that's part one. Part two of your question really talks about underserved communities and financial barriers, whether that's urban populations, suburban populations, or rural populations. We have girls all over our footprint who need financial aid. So we offer it to them, whether it's for their membership or for programming opportunities or to help underwrite other experiences. And we also offer what we call camperships, which are scholarships to go to camp. We had hundreds of girls go to camp last year on camp scholarship.
You've done a wonderful job of wrestling that to the ground. But now let's continue with what about girls maybe first generation, different languages, or are not in a traditional school setting, et cetera? Are there Girl Scout troops for them?
We have troops, again, in every community. And what I would say is we have bilingual staff who help with Spanish-speaking girls and adults. And we also have a philosophy where when we go into different communities, we try to identify women from those communities who can serve as troop leaders. So if we're going into a Chinese community and it's a Mandarin-speaking community, we're hoping to identify women from within that community to lead those girls. Now, certainly it is a barrier at times if Girl Scouting is completely unknown to a community. But our work is to really go in, express who we are, identify the awesome opportunities that we provide to girls. Like you said before, the advantage that being a Girl Scout might offer them in school and in college and beyond. And create opportunities where we educate immigrant communities about the power of Girl Scouting and what we have to offer and why it's not only important for girls to participate, but it also becomes a community for the women who participate and men who become part of our volunteer family and then benefit from all the resources and the training that we provide to volunteers.
I was going to wrap up with a discussion on volunteerism, but let's start here. It's not just the girls who are going out and doing all these projects to help the community, et cetera. Obviously, the adults are volunteering their time to be the leaders in these. Who are you looking for? What kind of woman and men do it too?
That's right. The volunteers at Girl Scouting and in Eastern Pennsylvania are the lifeblood of our organization. They are the people who make it all happen. So these women and men are people who decide to invest multiple hours a week in building girls and their leadership potential. So we have women and men who are participating as troop leaders. We have what we call service units, which are larger areas where there are multiple troops that are part of a service unit. We have episodic volunteerism opportunities. So we have volunteers that run troops, run service units, participate in our governance program, so they're delegates for their communities. And then we have volunteers who help run, one-off programs.
I'm going to guess that you're looking for businesses and universities and cultural groups to help with these badge programs, too.
Yes, we have a lot of partnerships with universities and, companies. What I would also say is that our volunteers are really focused on our mission. So we aim to recruit, as young as freshmen in college to help with Girl Scouting and as old as people who've been in Girl Scouting for, 60 plus years. We have volunteers who are still involved with us who've been involved for over 60 years. I think that there's a unique population of young women age 18 to 30 who really could get a lot out of volunteering with Girl Scouts. What we know about the millennial population is that they're very generous with their time and with their limited resources. So we think that Girl Scouting is an awesome place for a young woman to volunteer and spend time sort of paying it forward. How do I help to develop confidence in young girls? How do I help to develop courage in young girls? And so we hope to recruit a lot of girls in that space. We obviously have a lot of moms who participate with their daughters in Girl Scouting, but we have a lot of volunteers who are troop leaders who don't have girls in Girl Scouting. We also have some volunteers who are recently retired. I think that's also an awesome population of people that we would love to recruit. People who have had awesome careers for 20, 30 years who can you know, who have the time now to give back. And, you know, I think Girl Scouting is a great place for them as well.
You mentioned that a lot of volunteers are moms who are working with their daughters. What about girls that don't have a mom available to them? And what about girls whose moms may be incarcerated?
We have an awesome program called Girl Scouts Beyond Bars for girls whose moms are or were incarcerated. This program is an awesome program where twice a month our staff take them to Riverside Correctional Facility to visit their moms if their moms are there. And the other 2 weekends of the year, they have a troop program. So for these girls, it's a wonderful place for them to not feel like their life circumstance is special or unique because they're with each other. And it's an incredibly safe space for them to not have to identify as this or that. And it's a wonderful place for them to build a community. We have girls who have been in that program for many, many years. We have girls who invite their family members to be in that program, their cousins, their sisters, et cetera, because their whole family is experiencing this hardship. And we also have ways for them to participate and feel like they're in a normal Girl Scout troop, because it is. The Girl Scouts Beyond Bars program has programming for girls, you know, K through 12. So traditional Daisy programming, traditional Brownie programming, et cetera. These girls earn badges. These girls participate in our weekend programs. And these girls go to camp through camperships. What I love also about the program is that nobody knows what that troop is or who these girls are. They're just part of our Girl Scout family. And so it's a really beautiful program that has been tremendous for these girls. And what we see is that, you know, these girls are often in transient sort of experiences. They're moving from place to place. We try desperately hard to ensure that they know that we're a place where they can feel like they have a home every weekend. And we have some wonderful stories where girls have graduated from high school, have been a part of this program, and have been accepted to 14 different colleges and universities. It's a wonderful program. We love the girls and their families who participate and the staff that deliver it.
What about kids whose parents are unable to make a time commitment to this? Are they still able to participate?
I love this question, too, because I am one of those moms. I have a Brownie Girl Scout and, you know, obviously have a very busy, exciting, and, you know, awesome career. And so what I think about when I think about volunteering is, even though I may not have the opportunity to be a troop leader who runs every program through the year, I like to think about it as a mom tribe. And I think that that's maybe the way of the future for, you know, the population today. Only 30 years ago, 30% of moms were working. Now 75 to 80% of moms are working. So we're in a different time. So if you think about a mom tribe, what that means is, you know, you have 12 girls, you have 12 moms, possibly. Divide it up. You know, 2 moms required for every troop meeting. Maybe you could do 2 out of the 12 for the year. So I think that there are lots of ways to think about that creatively. I think Girl Scouting is a place where we can help you with that creativity. And so if you think about twice a year instead of 12 times a year, it becomes a much more digestible, exciting opportunity for you to develop and build relationships, not only with your girl, but with also the other girls in the troop.
You know what? We have run out of time. Parting words to someone hearing this about Girl Scouts?
Girl Scouts is a wonderful place for me. It's been a place that I've been now for 8 years. I've been the CEO for 3 and different roles before that. It's a place where you really you go to every day and you believe in the mission and it doesn't feel like work. And I think that the commitment that our staff team makes every day is to the mission of our organization. Not a single person works there who doesn't believe in what we're doing. It's a great place to work, so definitely check out our job bank and, you know, consider working for Girl Scouts. Also, consider volunteering. You know, do you want to be a troop leader? Please express interest also on our website if you want to be a volunteer. Maybe there is a troop that you can start in your community. If you have girls in your life, whether they're your daughters, your nieces, your grandchildren, and you want her to have the confidence and the courage and the character to be a leader in her life, in her school, in her family, in her world, Girl Scouts is the place where she can really find her true self and develop that strong sense of self. So I hope that you'll consider Girl Scouts, and thank you so much again for having us.
Absolutely, anytime. Of course, for more information, go to girlscouts.org for your local council, or Eastern Pennsylvania, GSEP.org. My guest today has been Kim Freitas Dow, and she is the CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania. Kim, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.